Remote work is transforming careers by offering flexibility, balance, and a chance to work with teams at an international scale. However, succeeding remotely takes way more than just having a good internet connection. In today's episode, we'll be diving into our personal experience from working in a remote work environment and how we've grown from interns to our current role. I'm your host, Anita John, and welcome back to the InCyber podcast. I'm joined by Callum and Warren. Welcome back. How are you guys feeling?
Awesome. Welcome back, guys. Thank you for joining us again.
I'm very excited to get into this, to speak about how we've gone from interns to, you know, where we are now as full-time consultants, and how we've managed to get there and what we've managed to maintain.
So So, I mean, starting off as interns and remote work, how did you find working remotely as interns?
I love remote work. It's just quite unfortunate that COVID was a catalyst that normalized remote working, but it's very nice to work from home. Flexibility, like you said, being able to work with people overseas, that's really cool, because currently I work with people in Africa, Europe, America. So the fact that we're able to do that on a daily basis, that's really cool.
And I think COVID, although it was, it was difficult for a lot of us, I really enjoy the human interaction, being able to be with each other in person. I think, working remotely does come at like a challenge for myself. So I love working with people, body doubling, having that kind of vibe. But I will say that, COVID did kind of make us realize that being at home and working from home, actually you do get a lot more done. At the same time, you're also wanting to, socialize and be with people, because everyone has their own knowledge and their own opinion on things. We want to learn from each other. So it's quite hard to do when, you are so far away from each other. So
that's a good point you said there, by you get more done working from home. Because initially for me as an intern, it was very scary to work from home, because I felt like there was like slightly more expectations from myself internally to like be disciplined,
be busy the whole time.
Exactly. But I grew to like it, because I do find myself being able to do more while being at home, because I can work at any time. I can take a nap and wake up and work again. I can work past hours. I can upskill myself while working. So that it helped a lot. I'm very grateful for being able to work from home.
And the opportunities that we, are offered and like are able to go into different areas and try and, not only just stick to what we're doing right now, there are many kind of areas we can within our own field, and integrate our studies into what we're doing at the moment. So I think that's a good point that you bring up.
For cybersecurity, to me, it seems like remote work allowed more people to join the industry, like the entry to getting a job and getting to work. It's much simpler now if you can do it remotely versus like if you're applying for a job in a different province, you have to fly over, do interviews in person and all of that. That's just much easier to do online.
How else do you think cybersecurity has been affected by remote work?
For security teams in large organizations, it definitely made it more complex to secure the users, especially when they're away from the office. So making sure that they are connecting to the company resources securely, it's become like a big thing for organizations. And that is largely due to working from home, because if they were at the office, it would have been much more easy to manage.
I think they also control, there's loads of controls that have now been more like important to implement because you are now working from home. Like brilliant example is, having to secure off-site assets, and the company now has no control over the person's house. That is their thing. So the only thing that you can really do is, there's only training and awareness that the company can do to make sure that people are doing the right thing. So it's a certain level that they can do. However, there are, as an example, there's a clear desk and clear screen rule that within ISO 27001 that does speak to making sure that you are implementing the right kind of mindset when it comes to, making sure that you're not leaving your computer on after like 5 minutes. You aren't storing things locally on the laptop. You aren't having confidential information left on your workspace printed out. So it's that kind of idea of making sure that your environment is kept in a like safe way, not just like having a lock on the door and all those kind of physical controls.
The the frameworks that organizations use to secure themselves, you're saying they have been updated to focus a lot more on the remote working aspect.
A lot of the like the ISO standard, like Callum mentioned, which is one of the security standards, the difference between there's a recently updated standard on ISO, which is the 2022 version, and then there was the old one, which was the 2013 version, and you can see like between the two standards, you can see how the specifically the physical security section has changed to like be tailored to cater to organizations who are fully remote. Like for example, they've now brought in also a new control under that speaks on cloud security and, you know, managing your cloud providers, whereas it wasn't in the 2013 standard. In the 2013 standard also focused a lot on encrypting or protecting like your hard drives, your USBs, whereas now with everything in the cloud due to remote working, you know, there's not really much of that. So that control has been removed. So it's quite interesting to see how the standard as well has been tailored to be more applicable to organizations that are fully remote.
And if I can just quickly clarify for the audience. So control is the measures that an organization takes to secure an asset. So it's the actual action. For example, if you have a building you want to secure, you're going to put a security guard. That is your control. So just for the viewers.
Yeah. So we've spoken a lot about, you know, what we think of remote working. We've said we've liked it, which is good. In terms of, you know, when in your early stages of your career as an intern, how did you go about maintaining your internship in this new environment? Because none of us has worked before, yet alone worked remotely. So how did you go about, you know, just maintaining that internship throughout? Yeah.
From my point, before getting into cybersecurity, working in, you know, in COVID, having to wear masks all the time was pain. Having to completely, you know, speaking to people, you know, I didn't have to smile. You know, you're looking like that, and your eyes are your smiling points. So I think that was obviously difficult to not have that same human interaction. But I think, you know, going through COVID, you kind of realize that it's very important to have that. You know, your eyes can even tell what, you know, people are saying inside, and that you can read people very easily. Yeah, so I think that, you know, for me, really, like, you realize how much COVID can affect the work and how you read into people's emotions, and you can see it through a screen rather than, you know, just in person.
That's a very good point, actually, because, you know, in person, you're able to read someone's body language, the energy, you know, and feedback from that, but on a screen, slightly more complicated, there's like this lag, there's a slight awkwardness also.
So
yeah, it definitely is hard, I guess, to connect to people, to your team online compared to in person. And I think also for myself as an intern, you know, like you mentioned, there are these controls in place for how we should conduct ourselves from at home in a secure manner. There's awareness trainings in place, there's policies, processes, documented, etc. However, it does tie back to you as the person. You are managing yourself at home. And as an intern, that's something that I had to constantly remind myself, is that I'm like the only person responsible here as to how I work. There's no one walking around checking if I'm doing my work. So I had to cover my ass, basically, you know, from home. Like, make sure that I'm online when I need to be online. I'm joining the calls when I need to join the calls. I have good internet connection. My camera's on. You know, I look presentable. All of that is something that I had to keep in mind as an intern to make sure that I'm thriving in the world of remote working.
This just reminded me of something Callum actually did really well when he was an intern, which was actually seek out that connection with others. Because as an intern, it's easy for you to just think, okay, I'm left alone to my device. I must just do my work. I don't have to reach out to people. I don't have to take the extra steps. They should come to me. But he actually took the initiative to connect with people, you know, have meetings that are not just work related. So that was actually something really good to do. And that if you're an intern, you should practice, you know, connect with your peers online.
And communication is very difficult. Not only like just in general in the work environment, but it makes it even harder when you, you know, 7,000 kilometers apart, being in the UK and South Africa, or different parts of South Africa in itself, having to have that effective communication within meetings to make, and, you know, read emotions, all of those different things over calls. So, you know, the one way is having loads of calls, or it's just making sure that those calls are worth the time. And I think, you know, for at the beginning, you know, I was diving into it, just trying to, you know, see people and try to meet people, because, you know, that's what you're trying to do in the industry, is to network. But I kind of, you know, now I'm starting to pull back and go, let's make sure that what the time that was used is effective rather than just there.
You know? You guys both raised very good points, and you mentioned working in silo, and you mentioned communication. Like, all of that, I 100% agree. They're definitely important, especially as interns. You know, you don't want to, as an intern, it's very easy, like I mentioned in the previous episode, it's very easy to, if you're not communicating as often, or if you're not very vocal about what you're doing and, you know, you need help or where you're stuck, it's very easy for a certain perception to be put onto you, you know. Again, as an intern, like, you're coming straight from high school or coming from little to no experience, it's very hard to communicate, and yet alone communicate remote to people you don't know, you feel like you don't have a connection with them. So I think your approach, definitely, if anything, if I would go back, I'd probably use that. You know, first connect with the people and then communicate. I think I focus too much on, am I saying the right thing? Do I need to say something right now? Do I even know what to say right now? Which was not very often. So yeah, I think that's a very good approach.
Something that really helped me was the aim of stand-ups. And I think I pitched it to the team at first of, let me go to my manager and then every morning just say what I'm doing for the day. Because I feel that if I don't do that, I'll almost fumble my way through, and then stuff will not get done, and I won't remember what I'm doing. And then on Friday, you know, just, the hammer comes down on you. So rather, you know, I forced myself in the morning to send a message every day off to my manager at the time, to just, you know, get my work out there so that I know what I'm doing, and the responsibility is almost shared. And then I know what I'm doing, and then I can get it done. I think that's also very important, to just, you know, show the effort and work the extra hours. An internship is a way for you to prove yourself. It's like your initial interaction with your boss. He's now hired you, but now you need to still prove within your internship period, why are you worth keeping? Why are you valuable? That doesn't mean when that internship ends, stop, you know, stop and then just suddenly relax. But you know, you're trying to prove yourself, and you're trying to earn yourself a position in the company or in the business that you involved in.
Sorry, I have a question for you guys. What were some things you saw in someone else as an intern that you thought, damn, that skill is actually very valuable?
My uncle mentioned to me that he worked 12-hour shifts, you know, for the first 6 months of his career.
And what was he doing?
I think he was working in data analysis, or just, I think it was simply inputting numbers or something. But, you know, he was just generally just working hard and doing it from 6 in the morning, getting up and then clocking off at 6 p.m. at night, and like flopping into bed exhausted. And although that doesn't sound
like, it's our theory saying, like, increase the volume of work as an intern, that will be more beneficial. But it's, how does that balance with your mental health? Like, how do you regulate, you know, burnout?
To answer your question, I would say, from what I've seen, is just being vocal about what you don't know. You know, as an intern, there's a lot that you don't know, and it should be expected for you to learn from the job, or, you know, at least have some time to, like, upskill yourself. And when I was an intern, I think I spent a lot of time just trying, instead of saying, hey, I actually don't know, help me understand this, I'd rather just sit in silence and struggle with it and try to understand it myself and then come with it. So I try to be perfect. No one is perfect, basically. So, yeah, I think just accept that you're not perfect, and just being vocal about the things you don't know, asking for help, asking for resources. Yeah, I would say that's something I wish I would have done differently.
I've seen someone apply that.
Callum.
So I will say that from my standpoint, I have been an intern in my first year out of school. And then I went off and did my own thing as per the episode one. But you know, in my first internship, I did screw up. I did mess up. I did make mistakes. I wasn't as eager. I remember for the first few weeks, I was, you know, I was in my suit and tie. I was ready. But because I saw the relaxation in the pathway, I could just get by. I was doing that. And I was doing the bare minimum after the first few weeks, realizing that they weren't as strict. So I wasn't keeping myself accountable. After about 6-7 months, they realized that, you know, actually, like, I wasn't worth. I mean, I think I went, my family took me away on holiday, and I didn't discern in my head that this is actually a job that's going to help me. And I didn't discern that. I was like, you know, well, I guess I'm going away now on holiday because I've just come out of school and my parents will just take me away on holiday. So I guess that's okay. But no, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I didn't get this right the first time. And that is never the expectation. But from that, I learned that you need to, you know, you need to deliver way past the ball.
Yeah.
And with my experience of working from the bottom to get to the top is where you want to get to.
Yeah.
It's that journey is so important to grow yourself.
Just try and eat it for you.
Try and error. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I have another answer for your question, which is something you did actually as an intern. Warren always put his hand up. No matter what the task was, every single time, every time a new task was presented or a new project was presented, even though he did not know what was going on, he just always put his hand up. And in that moment back then, you know, I'd be like, oh, I wish I was more like Warren and just like, be able to just take on challenges, even though I have no idea how I'm about to complete this challenge, but just, you know, putting myself out there and saying, hey, I'm willing to learn.
I think what I realized or what made it easy for me to do that was the environment. Because I could see that I was going to learn if I did this thing, even if I didn't know how to do it. There was someone to guide me. So it was never a case of I'm given a task to do, I don't know how to do it, and I'm just going to do my own thing. That was never the case. There was the environment was very accommodating and immersive learning. So that's how I always put my hand up. But yes, you absorb a lot. You get to know what you like and what you don't like, so that you focus the next 5 years on exactly what you like and what you should put your effort into.
Definitely. Callum, you mentioned your uncle said something along the lines of putting in more hours. What would you say then is some ways of yourself personally? How do you go about balancing, you know, your work and personal life? If you're putting in more hours, do you have time for yourself? When do you have time for yourself?
So, I mean, that is 100%. I feel like lately, I mean, being involved in this, being involved in work, being involved in studies, being involved in gym, calisthenics, all of that stuff, trying to make myself a better human, time for myself comes really. I mean, my study times is like 10 p.m. to 1 in the morning. Like, that's not well optimized, although that is the time that I get, and I am functioning off of it, whether it's good performance. That's going to see
it.
I mean, I'm doing it. But I would say that, you know, the way that I find it kind of kind of escape is going to the gym, you know, getting out there, going for the odd run. I love playing games. I'll play games every now and then. I enjoy chatting to people. So I'll go and network with people online. Or if I really can, I mean, obviously would love to prefer in-person networking. But not everyone's available all the time. So that's kind of how I try and balance. But to have so much going on, I know that I'm sacrificing my social life a little bit, which is impacting my mental health. However, I think I've got a good balance now where I'm stable. I'm not in any critical condition as of yet. So, yeah.
What about yourself, Warren?
I think after a while, you get used to the...
You become a
functional busy person, you know, like it's our lifestyle, pod, school, extracurricular activities, you know, you just find a way to fit it all in, and that's largely due to remote work.
Yeah.
The whole work life balance, but now it's more so work life integration.
Yeah.
You know, you find time during the day to fit in all that you need to and still get your deliverables done perfect and that. Yeah, I've been doing this for the last 3 years, you know, working, studying, and it's really difficult. I don't want to lie. You have to balance. Sometimes one area loses, sometimes another area gains, and it's an up and down motion. It's not a dip, but it's just, you know,
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. What do you think about the whole concept of keeping traditional work routines in remote work? So like switching, like logging off at 5 p.m. on the dot, you know, logging on at a certain time. What do you guys think about that?
It's an interesting concept.
The mindset is, you know, it's good to get log off at 5 to disconnect from what you're doing to then go and carry on doing what you need to do in a day. If you're managing your life like a project, you know, I've got between these hours to do this, then those hours to do that. But I think for us, our mind is still, even though we disconnect from it, our minds are still spinning. So we are constantly thinking about work, we're constantly thinking about studies, everything's going on up there. But I think that, you know, from a work-life balance perspective, we found a way that they all mesh, but might not be exactly like logging off at 5 and all that.
Mm.
It's difficult to manage. But I think for us, I would have viewed it as a kind of closed mindset. If you like saying at 5 o'clock, I'm stopping work no matter what. And that's where it ends. I have to keep thinking about it because there's always ways to improve not only your own processes within how you work, but how the company kind of functions.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think also just as the younger generation, you know, like our brains are at its peak right now. You know, it's constantly wanting to learn new things. It's constantly wanting to do things and just logging off and completely forgetting about what you did. Like you're saying, it's a closed mindset because you're not giving yourself, your brain, room to further upskill in whatever task you're dealing with during the day. You know, you're just doing it as a task and closing it off. You're not actually like investing in it, learning more about it, you know, further enhancing your knowledge about this thing. It just becomes task by task. You know, you're just living by task at that point.
I think one thing that you actually said to me a while back, which was my biggest learning curve as an intern, was when I was treating a job as just another task. And I wasn't coming into it as this is part of something career that we're doing, this is what we're doing for a certain client. Well, I was rather just coming in and going, yeah, done, tick, next, you know, and that's not how this is, you know, structured. It's not just another task, it's a whole different environment to get involved in. So,
I think that it depends on the role. It actually depends on the role. So if you work a very repetitive task that needs you to start at 9 and you're going to finish whatever you're doing at 9 or 12, and then you're going to take your break, and then, you know, let's say for example you're a cashier and all you do is just check items out, then it makes sense to log off when you finish work. But I think in today's world, especially in the IT field, it's a little bit more different. Depending on whether you have a deadline or you don't and how your day is looking, you can fit some things that you were going to do in the evening earlier in the day. And then if you are a person that's more optimal in the evening, you're going to do your work better in the evening. So it's all about knowing yourself. If you know you have the most energy and you can get the most work done in the morning, it's fine if you shut down at 5. But if that's not the case for you, you are limiting yourself if you shut down at 5. You're just sticking to a tradition, but you're limiting yourself.
I think it's good to be contactable between 8 and 5 and say between these hours I will be able to answer a phone call or be in a meeting.
Definitely.
And which is as I think what we kind of say in our contracts. But I think via the grapevine of what we, you know, how we work, I'd probably start work around 8:30, you know, getting down to it, planning what I'm doing for the day. And then, you know, like life happens. You got to go make yourself breakfast. You got to go make yourself food. And so some days I'm up at 6, you know, crack of dawn. Other days I'm up at 8 and I'm, you know, getting started. But there's no, like, having that deliverable kind of expectation is a lot more positive because you get the work done and then you can go and carry on with your remote, however you want to, what else you want to do in the day.
I actually really like the self-management aspect of remote work. Like being able to actually set your own time, you know, you're in charge of your day. It's not a case of you have to wake up, go to the office, be at the office, seem busy at the office, but you just you know, doing your hours basically. So yeah, the self-management part of remote work is really, it's really cool.
Other than having to balance your work and life, what other challenges did you face as an intern while working remotely?
I was worried about like the amount of knowledge I needed to know. I think one of our previous colleagues mentioned that, you know, he was Googling every single word that was coming in because he didn't know much.
It was me.
It was you, sorry. One of our current colleagues. She was Googling everything that, you know, that she needed to know. It's like you. What am I saying? She, you need to, you know, do everything that you need to know because you don't know everything. You don't know what VPN, what MFA, what all these different things that are coming out of nowhere stand for. And coming out of, you know, high school where the limited number of acronyms are being used, it's like this big, massive field. And, I mean, even today, encryption kind of stumps me. I'm sort of going, what on earth? Like, I get encryption, what it, like, means. But then going to a deep level, it's like, okay, I've got a lot to learn in that aspect. So I think as a challenge, knowing, expecting to know all the content is actually not real. I think that was for me, that was the number one thing, the number one scary part, and that affected my confidence. It's being declined, going, I'm the professional, when really I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, well, the company we work for, the way we were hired, I mean, we come from high school. We didn't have a formal education in cybersecurity. So it was much more difficult for us to know what to know and what to come in the game with. But if you obviously are a graduate, you studied cybersecurity, there is an expectation of you. You know, we expect you to know a certain level. But yeah, for people like us, you know, coming from straight out of high school, basically, that was the biggest challenge. And not knowing what you need to know.
Keywords being thrown around, like ISO risk. What is that?
Yeah.
And then even hearing the word ISO, then even the other day I said to you, ISO, it stands for the International Organization of Standards. You're like, no, but it's ISO, not iOS. So, you know, it's kind of interesting when we go into that kind of detail.
Yeah.
But I think as interns, it's good that we've grown to understand that, and to, I think, for others to also out there expect that they don't need to know everything. They don't need to know
There's no such thing as a perfect intern.
Yeah, I mean, you can come in, I mean, like going from an IT degree, that's kind of what everyone expects. Like, if you have an IT degree, you can get into cybersecurity. Guys who have had BCom degrees or BA degrees, any kind of degree, you can get into cybersecurity. Yeah. It's about your drive and your passion about the topic at hand, not about what, you know, the knowledge that you have as you're joining into the industry.
Yeah. 100%. On that note of, you know, us wanting to be the perfect intern, just another challenge that I face, which in the same regards to that, is how I'm presenting myself in a meeting. You know, so like my camera, my mic, my internet connection. Oh, I remember as an intern, I had such a bad internet connection. It was so bad.
And you do your there.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so embarrassing. Like, you know, yeah, like I worried about those kind of things because, you know, again, as an intern, like you want to maintain that position, you want to grow, you want to impress. So all of those things matters. And if you coming from a place where you don't have Wi-Fi, I didn't actually have like Wi-Fi. We were using like RAIN. RAIN is Wi-Fi.
Yeah, router.
No, sorry. Okay, sorry. Mobile router. But yes, we were using the mobile router RAIN, and it was just like the connection was so bad, started all the time, and I was so worried about how that might affect, again, how I'm perceived.
It does have an effect.
It definitely
has an effect because it's almost like how you're presenting yourself.
Exactly.
How you're showing up.
Exactly. Yeah. But I learned from that. I was like, nope. And, you know, in South Africa, we have load shedding as well. And that was another big challenge, especially if you didn't have an inverter or a UPS or anything. Like, you would just need, I don't know, make a plan in those 2 hours. And it's hard.
It's been like 200 days or something without load shedding now, which is great. But I do at the same time go, like, you know, when we were in load shedding, it was like, sorry, I can't join a meeting because of load shedding. That was like the excuse every single day.
Same.
There was someone in load shedding. And I think that's, you know, that was a big problem for us because, you know, people, you needed to be in those meetings, but you can't because And even if you are, your camera's off because you're trying to save battery and your communication now is very minimal.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
and I think one thing you want to do as an intern is show up. So even if you have load shading or whatever, make a plan, you know, like I had to make a plan. I got a UPS. I was like, okay, cool. This is not working out for me. I had to get a new camera, a proper camera. I had to get proper headphones, you know, a proper setup so that I can look presentable and be perceived as not the girl with the bad internet.
Definitely presenting. Speaking in front of...
I second that.
Speaking in front of people, I don't know, you know. That I was really anxious early on in my internship. Very, very anxious. I always used to be nervous for a presentation. But over time, it just gets better. Mm. It goes from you're anxious to, okay, these are nerves of excitement. Like, I'm actually really... But that all goes with how well you know what you're talking about. So the more knowledge and experience you have, it's quite easy to talk about a topic. Mm. And you actually, it's so easy. Like, why would I be anxious? I know what I'm talking about. But early on, I didn't know what I was talking about. And whenever it was my turn to talk, I would just be like... shaky, like, am I going to say the right thing? Am I going to embarrass myself?
Yeah.
I know the public speaking was a big one for me. It was a big challenge.
Yeah,
dear. Which I think, I mean, for our speak on my part, I feel like I've improved a lot in my speaking, but I still feel like I'm nowhere near perfect. I've got a lot to kind of still work on.
100%.
The presenting of, you know, presentation to people, as you said, you don't know who you're presenting to, how high they are, and... Mm. I mean, for my first few, until I got my own clients that I owned, I was still so like worried that what I might say might be wrong. And if they catch me off guard, then they're going to suddenly come hammers down and you'll be wrong. But end of the day, we're all human. You know, we all make mistakes. If something goes wrong, there's a way to fix that. Just, you know, don't say something that's too odd or too out there, or in your own capacity, it doesn't make sense to bring up in a kind of meeting.
Yeah. Mm.
That's another thing as an intern that I kept thinking about is, if I say the wrong thing, someone is going to call me out on it. But that was actually not the case. If you say the wrong thing,
people aren't out there for you. They're not out to get you.
They're not out to get me. So it's okay. Again, it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to say the wrong thing to a certain degree. but yeah, like, people are not out there to get you. I mean, a good company culture is there to help you grow and not... say, laugh at you. And
especially
say,
as an intern.
Especially as an intern, yeah. And I think everything we've been saying in terms of us striving to be perfect interns, at the end of the day, you can see it in a positive way because it helped us maintain our internship. It got us to where we are today. I think if we didn't strive to be perfect, if we didn't want not want to make any mistakes, we would have just done a very basic job, you know, would've just completing the task. We wouldn't have shown any value as interns. Mm. So how else would you say to the audience, what other ways would you recommend for maintaining an internship? What other ways to maintain an internship?
So this challenge I just mentioned, public speaking, there's actually a way you can prepare yourself early on in your career. There's public speaking groups such as Toastmasters, perfect place to go if you want to upskill on public speaking, because they teach you everything about public speaking. They actually put you in front of people. You speak to people live. You stand on a stage. You present, and you just get used to it. Recently, I spoke to a university student, well spoken, like brilliant, and the guy is a member of a Toastmasters club, and you can just see the benefits of doing something like that. So I'll definitely say, if you have the means to, because it's not free, those groups are not generally free, if you have the means, I'll definitely say look into Toastmasters. Even if you're not an intern, if you just want to put yourself out there, you know, be able to speak publicly, conferences, on the stage, get yourself into Toastmasters. That will definitely help you.
I'm definitely joining that.
I think me too. I also
We all are.
And from my side, I you know, speech therapy was very useful for myself. Having a speech impediment, you know, I had to go back and learn about how to speak slower. And, you know, it's got me thinking a lot about my speech. But even though I feel like I've just caught up to where everyone else is, I still need to improve that public speaking so that people I can get my message to someone quickly rather than wasting time them staring at me going, what on earth is this guy saying?
Yeah.
He's mumbling. I can't hear what he's saying properly. Mm. And yeah, you know, it's very important to get the message across to other people so other people will then engage in the conversation with, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, carries on.
But speaking slow is such a... Even with this podcast, like first episode to now, speaking slower.
Yeah.
Speak slower. You don't need filler words.
Yeah.
You know, your brain is processing what you say, but if you just slow the pace down, it's just so much more easy to speak. You get your point across clearly, concise, effective communication.
Definitely. If I don't speak slow, my voice just goes away. So. But yeah, I mean, a very good point. So we're saying communication is key as an intern. Even if you don't know what you're talking about, just being able to convey the message and being able to be confident in what you're saying. And I think that ties into the next point, which I have for maintaining an internship, which is building client relationships. And you touched on this in terms of building not just client relationships, but internal
working environment clients.
Yeah, yeah, true. To building relationships.
Within the organization.
Within the organization. Steve plays a key role in maintaining your internship because, again, working in silo, like... It's good, yeah. You know, you have your own space and you,
your
at least
boss.
That's what I thought. You're your own boss,
your own boss.
You know, you do what you want, how you want. But at the end of the day, you are working with other people and you have to, one thing I've learned from our companies, company culture like matters. It plays a huge role in how you fit into a company culture. So definitely taking the time out to build personal relationships with your colleagues, with your whoever's in the internal organization and external, really, that's going to play, it's going to help you a lot. Make friends.
Other people in the industry. Yeah, other people
make
in
friends,
the industry.
Yeah.
I think something that, I mean, that you have taught me once, one too many times is, sorry, I didn't mean to point at you like that, but
I tell Callum so many things, guys. I don't even know how to tell this guy so many things.
If you want to go fast, go alone. Because there is no one's going to stop you, you know, do it. But if you want to go far, if you want to get somewhere, if you want to do something with what you're doing, go together because people will always thrive when they're together rather than being alone. And I think that's why you say, make friends, connect with people, get that, you know, get yourself out there. Because people are going to want to be part of your clan, your group. And they will want you to go further than where you currently are. And you will find people who are way above you who want to help you.
Exactly.
That's the beautiful thing about being in an internship. You're surrounded by people who want to basically catalyst you into positions that they could never get to.
Exactly.
That's what, that's, if anything, that's the one thing you have to take advantage of as an intern. Use everyone else around you's experience and do better than them. It's quite narcissistic to say, but...
Yeah.
Use the experiences
you're
to
learning
better
from
yours,
people's experience.
You know.
Just like how they're learning from our experiences, you know.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. All the mistakes we made, don't make them.
Yeah.
Bypass them.
I will
you're
say
be ahead.
I will say that the one thing is that as an intern, technically you have no responsibility. You're not gonna, if something goes wrong, it's not on the intern, it's on the person who's
managing.
Leading the project or managing the project. And in that way you can think that okay, if I don't get it done, I'm not going to get blamed for it. Yes, you probably won't. But there'll be repercussions that you will not see right now. But in a few months, when that internship expires, you won't get the job.
Yeah.
You won't stay. So if you are able to deliver, perform, then that's why you keep your job. And that's why you carry on and get a role that is more deserving of what you're actually doing.
And also with that, it's like if you have that mindset of, oh, well, I'm not the manager, I'm not to blame. Then ask yourself, well, what value are you actually bringing, you know?
100%.
Because, again, people only hire people that brings value to their company. So as an intern, it is hard, yes, to show your value, to bring new value to the company. But if you're going to have that mindset of, it's not on me, I'm just an intern, I can't do much more than this. Then it's like, do you really want to be here? Because as an intern, you know, you want to, like you mentioned, working extra hours to upskill yourself, to complete a certain task. If your manager messes up, by all means, you know, like do the job if you can, you know. Do the job and present the findings. That's you showing your value. So
leadership qualities as well.
It's important,
yes, definitely.
It's important to ask questions as well. Like, you're very scared as an intern getting to roll with loads of people above or around you to be like, well, okay, I'll just do as I'm told. Because yes, you can just do as you're told and go and follow like a blind rat and try to find what you need to do. But if you open your eyes and go, actually, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to achieve, open, communicate with, and again, go back to communication again, communicate with your manager saying, this is how I understand what I'm being told to do, and this is what I've done from it. Is this correct? He'll come back and say, that is horrible, that's trash. You know, go back a step.
Yeah.
And learn from that and go, okay, now, and eventually you get to a point where you become fully employed and now you have to take all of that, like what you've learned, and apply it. Then if you mess up, then there's a problem. But for now, it's okay as an intern to learn, to make those mistakes. It's not about the mistakes you make, it's how you recover from them. That's important.
A nice tip you just kind of touched on there. When you get instructions as an intern, repeat them. When they give it to you, repeat them so that you make sure you cover exactly what you're being asked, and there's no room for, I actually wanted you to do this, or no, you got that wrong. You know, don't go do your own thing and then come back. Just make sure before you go do your own thing, you've clarified what's required of you, and then you always meet expectations.
It's very easy as an intern to just go with your own way of thinking. Yeah, thinking you understand, but actually don't. Out of fear of asking
and
or saying,
dumb.
Actually, I don't understand. Yeah.
Or like, could you give me an example? Like, how would this work in my, you know, I haven't done this before. Can you help me through it? Do you have time? And I think the guys in our company who have helped me personally, who made time to come and upskill me so that we can work ahead. And I really appreciate them for that. As well as you guys as well, but I'm more referring to everyone else who isn't here today. They've helped us move us forward, and I think that the thing is that you together you grow, you be in silos, you can go fast in your own direction. The chance of being the wrong direction is very high. So
I have something that I was told like twice in the year that I was interning. I was told that I have a positive attitude, and it's quite vague, but as we're discussing, I'm kind of seeing, okay, where it actually comes into play. If you make a mistake and your manager is hard on you, you can either choose to see that negatively or positively. Positively as in take the lessons, move forward, avoid repeating the same mistakes.
Yeah.
Constantly just having that attitude. I know life can get difficult, you know. Sometimes you're not in the best mood, you can't always be positive, we get it. But when it comes to work, especially when it comes to work deliverables, always be positive, always learn from people. Just be the positive energy, you know. When you get into a meeting, you're like, okay, Callum's here, super positive, we're gonna get shit done, you know. So I think, being positive is definitely one of those.
Maximizing opportunities, in the ups and downs, when you do something right, when you do something wrong, see it as an opportunity, not a fall down or like a setback or anything. Always maximize opportunities.
Doing what you're doing as an intern doesn't mean that at the end of the internship it stops.
Yeah.
You know, that's just cementing an approach that you're going to keep for the rest of your journey. If you keep on, you know, questioning, going to the person who, like your boss. I mean, if you're even a manager, your boss will still be asking you to do things for him. And one of those things, you know, if he asks you to do something, you've got back to him, hey, just confirming this is what it was you're expecting. Yes, perfect. You get the job done. There's no questions asked. He's got what he's asked for and you've delivered. You know, if there's like, okay, cool, I'll do that. And there's no communication between the two of you, what the boss is going to get may not be what he wants. So
100%. The turnover rate is not zero in a lot of companies. So if you do great things as an intern and stop, you're going to be out of the company. You're going to be out very fast. So these things are not, they're just not applicable to interns only. These are things you learn at an internship level, and then you just constantly apply as you go up, as you go to management, leadership, and whatnot.
Although your probation period is over, they're still watching you, that you carry on.
Yeah. So we spoke about, you know, the importance of building relationships both internally and with clients externally. In terms of networking as an intern, what advice or tips do you have based off your first experiences at a conference or any workshop? What sort of advice would you give to current interns or people who want to score an internship somewhere?
It's so difficult to tell people to just take action, because
It's so different.
Even myself, you know, I was nervous to just walk up to someone and be like, hi, I'm Warren.
Honestly, till today.
You know, you overthink it. You're in your head a lot. Yeah. But just do it. Just do it. Just walk up to people, you know. No one's going to say, get away. No, they're going to speak to you. They're going to be nice. They're going to tell you what you want to know. So just having that courage and confidence to walk up to people and speak to them. Mm. I remember when my first conference, first of all, there weren't many people that looked like me in terms of like age, like there weren't young people at all, just scarce. And I think that's quite intimidating, especially when you're new.
It's very intimidating.
Like, people are 15, you know, it's so easy to go stand in a corner and let the day go past you. But that you're not getting value from that. Yeah. And these conferences are expensive. So you're not going to get value if you're going to stand in a corner. You're not going to engage with people.
Yeah.
But I think to just like massage you into it, sit in the talks, engage in the talks. Mm. If the speaker says, ask me a question, put your hand up. If you were listening, you should have a question.
Yeah.
Go to the workshops, participate in the workshops, win a prize, stand on stage, be seen. It just helps with your confidence. Mm. So if you actually participate in the conference in the beginning stages, and then the next year, you know, just maybe less talks, more focus on the networking side, because now you have an experience, you know, you've built up a resume of what you do, what you're skilled in, what you want to upskill in. So when you go out and have conversations with people, you want to know more about cloud security, AWS. You see, okay, there's a booth there of cloud security experts. You walk up to them, just be like, so and so, ask your questions. And the more conversations you have, the more confidence you build and the easier it gets.
Yeah. And I think with that, like in terms of conversation, like you don't have to go up to someone at a conference and expect to be the smartest person in the room, or expect to have a conversation specifically on cybersecurity, or it could be a conversation on anything. How's the weather today? You know, 100%. Like literally, because I remember at my first conference, which was IT Web, I actually went there alone because you guys had gone to the Joburg one and I went to the Cape Town one. I went alone and I was like, okay, the team is not with me. I don't know any. I only knew one person at the conference, was a speaker. So I was like, okay, I know this person, you know, but obviously this person was also quite busy and it's like, they're not just going to baby me throughout the conference. So I had to just like find my way. And I remember when it was lunchtime, I got my lunch and I just, exactly what you said, sat in the corner. I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to speak to people now. I was too nervous. So I sat down somewhere and someone came and sat next to me. And I was just like, okay, I don't want to sit in silence because it's a bit awkward and we're just eating. And I just started talking about the food. I was like, yeah, the food is really nice. Hey, like compliments to the chef. And from there, you know, it was like, oh, I'm an eater, exchanged LinkedIn's, and, you know, we formed a connection. So it doesn't have to be specific to cybersecurity or whatever the conference is on. Just start up a conversation like a normal human being.
And you know, you aren't trying to sell yourself to this person. Yeah. You're trying to, you know, stick yourself into ChatGPT and have an essay prepared halfway through it. But you know, be your authentic self. Be you. Don't go, yeah, I'm interested in these 70 things, because you're not. Say, listen, I've done research. I don't know a lot about cybersecurity. I want to learn more. But don't come with the thing of like, well, what do you want me to do? And like, I can give you like an hour. Like, how long do you have? Like, do you have like 7 hours for me to talk through all the things that I know? And you know, come with something that is valuable that you have, that you've looked at, that you find interesting, that you want to go into.
Yeah.
Because cybersecurity, although, you know, as we've spoken about in episode one, it's, although we think it's small, it's massive. There's so much to go into.
That's a very good point, because like, you know, as an intern or someone who wants to get an internship position, like your first, or at least to me, your first instinct is to sell yourself so you can get a job. You know, like, I can do this and this. I'm good at this and this and this. Whereas, you know, everyone at the conference is already selling themselves. You know, there's vendors out there marketing their company and their services. Everyone is on a mission to solve themselves. So it's like, if you're going to be one of those people that's just selling themselves, everyone already knows everyone is selling themselves. It's like, no one is going to give you that opportunity. You know, no one is actually going to sit and listen to you selling yourself, especially if you're an intern, because it's like, what are you really selling? Mm-hmm. You know, what value are you selling at that point? So yeah, I agree with that. Like, mm-hmm. rather speak on, like, ask the questions or speak on what you want to know more about, where you want to be, you know, ask questions and ask guidance on to get where you want to be, that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And I think that will give you more engagement than you trying to say, I'm good at 20 million things, because...
They're
going to be like, okay, send me your CV.
in my story and how that kind of relates to that, it's, you know, I knew that I was good at making coffee and I knew that I love tech. And you go to your boss, you said, or the guy who you want to employ you, and you say, listen, I love cybersecurity. I have a passion for people. I have a passion for tech and I've done the research on but now I can make you coffee. I can be this person for you. But, you know, I want to learn more and I think I can eventually get there. And this is how I see myself getting there.
Exactly. You've
given him a solution.
Yes.
So he didn't have to think about where he's going to put you.
Yeah.
He now knows that you have a plan and, you know, you can go
do a bit of that. And he can just help you define that plan as well.
Exactly.
Like, you're coming with a plan instead of asking for a plan.
For someone to make a plan for you.
For you, yeah. So we spoke about, you know, maintaining an internship and how we've gone about maintaining an internship. In terms of that transition to where we are currently, I mean, how long? Kind of, your internship was about a year long. I think all of ours was about a year long.
I think it was May to December. So what's that? 7 months? 9 months?
9 months. I think one thing to note about the duration of the internship, and this is something that I've seen when interviewing people, specifically people who wanted an internship who had no experience in cybersecurity, the one question that all of those students asked was, how long is the internship? Am I going to get paid during the internship? How much am I going to get paid during an internship? And it was kind of off-putting because, you know, it's like you're saying you want this so badly, but you're more focused on how long am I going to be paid a certain amount for? Which is good, yes. It's good to think about, obviously, knowing your value and, you know, knowing your worth. And
it's the last step.
It's the final step.
Is getting that paycheck.
Exactly.
The rest of it's the...
Exactly. You know, like, you don't want to ask that when you get into it, especially when you don't have any experience. I know from all three of us, when we contacted our boss, we didn't approach him like that on some... Hey, how much am I actually going to earn? Is it good? You know, we don't need to earn anything. We just want to learn, you know. And that plays a huge role in maintaining your internship is, are you actually worried about the money or are you worried more about upskilling yourself and building a career from this? Because if you want to build a career from this, the money's going to come later. You know, get the skills first, learn first, then worry about the money. Build your personal brand, you know, have value to your name first, then start charging people for that value. So I think, definitely one thing that I would say as advice to anyone who wants to get an internship is don't worry about the duration and money. Rather worry about what's required of you to excel in that internship.
And how you can maximize skill acquisition.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean ignore it and don't ever think about pay and time, but don't make it the make or break. Mm. Same with the remote working. Just because a job might be remote doesn't mean it's the breaking point of a job. It could be a massive advantage for you, an ability for you to go and explore something else in your own personal life that you can then separate your work from your actual life, which is so much for us, has helped us so much.
Mm.
And, you know, I think, you know, getting into an internship, be willing to do whatever it takes. If you have a job role of helping out, right, whatever it takes to help out. It doesn't matter what your boss gives you, obviously within labor law and legal reasons. But you know, you still want to be able to show your boss that you can give your all to whatever the job is. And if there's like a question that you guys have, like, what we're doing the right thing? Are we doing too much here? We would happily answer those questions. And I mean, a lot of the time we would say yes, that, you know, that is normal. You know, it's good to ask those questions to start like a page of what are normal questions that everyone asks and what people don't. I think that's something that we should set up at some point.
Yeah,
as well.
No, definitely. Just facilitate that conversation. Let people ask, is this the right thing to be doing? I've been asked to do X, Y, Z. Is this normal? Did you guys come across something like that? That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I think there is so much more that we can talk about in terms of internships and how much internship we cover. But I think that, you know, we're going to leave space for you guys to ask those questions and, you know, let us answer whatever we can. And you know, when we are around in the area of any schools or universities that we can come and speak at, we would love your opinions and what you think about cybersecurity so that we can feed back and give you more information from our professional career.
Yeah.
100%.
I think that concludes today's episode then. If you are someone that wants to, that is currently in an internship or wants to get into an internship with or without experience, education, knowledge, skills, whatever the case may be, we really hope that you did find this episode to be insightful. We hope that we have somewhat given you some sort of confidence based on our experience. We hope you can learn from our experience and not make the same mistakes that we did as interns. And yeah, we hope to see you in the next upcoming episodes where we share more valuable insights from our experiences.
Yeah, and comment down below. Let us know if there's anything you want to know, what you want to see, and what you want to, you know, if you want to message us on LinkedIn, feel free. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers. Have a good one.
Cheers.